If you're sick of having to wade through 2 hours of fluff in order to get a few good takeaways, tune into the Art of Manliness podcast. We glean and distill the very best insights from the world's experts in self-improvement, philosophy, practical skills, history, and more. And we do so in under an hour without the eye-roll-inducing filler. You walk away from every episode of the Art of Manliness podcast with actionable insights you could start implementing today in order to improve your life. Check out great episodes that I enjoy, like the cues that make you more charismatic and how to avoid death by comfort. Available wherever you get your podcast on your favorite podcast player. Of course, if you want to improve your life, listen to the Art of Manliness podcast today. Indulge in the past with History on the Rocks, the podcast that brings you the fascinating tales of lesser-known history while you get ready for the weekend with your favorite drink in hand. Join Cody and Audrey as they uncork the stories that time forgot. From famous people like George Washington and his distillery to pirate queens causing mayhem on the high seas, each episode is a journey through the ages with endless possibilities. Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram to keep up with the news about the latest episodes. So grab a glass, enjoy, relax, and join us every Thursday for History on the Rocks, the History on the Rocks podcast, where you'll learn about the past while sipping in the present. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. That's History on the Rocks. Learn about the past while sipping in the present.
We loved the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip. Get every pick right and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
Scott Steiner, it's going to be a three-way for the TNA heavyweight title at Sacrifice between you, Kurt Angle, and Samoa Joe. Now, before you get there, you have an important step tonight as you and X Division champion Petey Williams take on the unlikely duo of Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe.
You know, they say all men are created equal, but you look at me and you look at Samoa Joe, and you can see that statement is not true. See, normally if you go one-on-one with another wrestler, you got a 50-50 chance of winning. But I'm a genetic freak, and I'm not normal. So you got a 25% at best at beating me. And then you add Kurt Angle to the mix, your chances of winning drastically go down. See, the three-way at Sacrifice, You got a 33 1/3 chance of winning. But I got a 66 2/3 chance of winning because Kurt Angle knows he can't beat me and he's not even going to try. So Samoa Joe, you take your 33 1/3 chance minus my 25% chance and you got an 8 1/3 chance of winning at Sacrifice. But then you take my 75% chance of winning if we used to go one-on-one and then add 66 2/3%, I got 141 2/3 chance of winning at Sacrifice. See, Joe, the numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for you at Sacrifice. See, but I'm going to break it down for all you ladies. Would you rather be with me, or would you rather be with Joe?
Well, I think Joe's kind of nice. I mean, you know.
See, you're one of those girls that like romance. I'm going to talk to all my freaks out there. Would you rather come home to me, a genetic freak, to be satisfied every night, or go home to that fat-ass small Joe? See, tonight, we're going to win, and I'm going to be the world champion at Sacrifice. Come on, P, let's go.
Scotty, just like you always say, Big Papa Pump has got your hookup. Well, Maple Leaf Muscle is who you need to look up. Holler if you hear that.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles. You're listening to the two-man power trip.
Hey, Johnny. Cool, man. What's going on? We ready to go or what?
Hello and welcome to the two-man power trip of wrestling. Your host, JP John Paz, with me today. Very special guest, former WCW World Heavyweight Champion. He's been a tag team champion in WCW, WWF, IWGP, you name it. He's been a tag champ there. WWE Hall of Famer, Mr. Scotty Steiner. Big Papa Pump, welcome to two-man power trip. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? I don't know if you can see that in the background. We've got a little wrestling going on.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Dual match between Nebraska.
Oh, okay. What's going on with you? You must be happy Michigan won the title.
Oh, yeah. It was a good game, and then they finally blew them out, you know. But did you see the Washington coach is now coaching at Alabama now?
Whoa, I didn't see that. Wow.
He accepted the job. So, I mean, that's what the ESPN's reporting, so.
Wow, that was quick. Saban is gone, and they got a new coach just like that. Wow.
Yeah. Probably, yeah, two of the best coaches in the same week retired, or one got, like, Belichick's going somewhere else, and then Saban is leaving college football.
Yep. And Pete Carroll just left the Seahawks, so three good coaches in one week.
You know, I think it's not like the same thing with Belichick, you know. It's kind of weird that he needed to make a change, and now they already have a coach in New England. So, I don't know, something's very kabukish there. You know,
yep.
It's like time for a change, and the change happened the very next day. So, yeah, it's always like, what have you done for me lately, man? That's brutal. Probably the best coach pro football history, 24 years of, you know, six Super Bowls and then he's shown the door, you know?
So, yeah, just like that.
But I always watch those guys because, you know, Tom Brady went to Michigan. So I was always a fan of the New England Patriots.
You got to be a fan of the Michigan alums. What's going on with your sons, right? One's playing basketball, it's one playing football?
Yeah, the one's playing football at Jacksonville State. You remember Rich Rodriguez?
Yep. Yeah,
He coached at Michigan for a little bit. Well, he's a coach at Jacksonville State right now. And my other boy is playing at Virginia Tech basketball. They're actually going to play Duke and I think Georgia Tech coming up. We're going to go see that. Going to Virginia Tech, see that. So keep them busy.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's like the next generation of the Steiners because Bron Breakker, Rick's son, your brother's son, he's on TV for NXT. It's like the next generation of Steiners. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, but they both love it. So that all that matters, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think about Bron Breakker in NXT? What do you think about his maturation?
He's picked it up quicker than I thought he would. But no, he's, you know, but because, you know, there's so many intricate details you got to pay attention to. But he was always a fan. Like I've said this before, he'd watch me on Nitro. Then he could ride his bicycle over and cut the same promo on me, you know, to me. I was like, man, come up with your own shit. That's all. But no, he's always. I believe that's probably why he's good with interviews today is because he's been doing it for so long. So then he copies all my shit, so that helps.
And it's crazy because he's kind of like Rick and you combined. Like he's got your athleticism, but he's got Rick's look. You know, he does Rick's clothesline. It's very weird. It's like he's both of you combined.
Yeah. Yeah, he's and he's very athletic. Because, you know, he was in Baltimore Ravens camp in the COVID year, which was tough because they all had to learn by video and not too much on the field. So he made it to the second to last cut. So now he did good, you know. And then he got called like a year after he started wrestling, but he was already making good progress in wrestling, so he just stayed down there at the Performance Center.
Do you think he should be on WWE TV?
Do I think he's ready? Yeah. But there's no point of going up there if there's not any plans, because there's so many people up there now with, you know, CM Punk coming back, you know, Cody Rhodes just came back, and then The Rock just came back. So, for that Raw, so it sounds like they might be doing the WrestleMania with The Rock and Roman Reigns. So there's so many top notch talent right now. So it's hard for them to, you know, find a spot for everybody. So he might, it's better to stay down there instead of going up there and get lost in the shuffle. So it's always better to go up there when they have concrete plans for you.
True. Very true. You mentioned him copying your promos and stuff, man. You had some of the best promos. I loved it. Like switches on bitches, your freaks holler if you hear me. Where did like all that come from? Cause it's just innovative, but it's also something we've never heard from or seen before. Like promos like that.
Yeah. That, you know, the thing when I first started wrestling, they were saying, oh, I can't do an interview. And when I first started, that was not my nature. You know, with amateur wrestling, you really weren't. You always had to remain humble. So there really wasn't a lot of shit talking. Otherwise, you know, it'd come back to bite you in the ass. So when I first started out, we were wearing our Michigan jackets, and I was still in the mindset, because I had been out of college for only like a couple of years. So then when I, you know, became Big Papa Pump, I just kind of like, there's a lot of frustration that I had built up, and I just, you know, I knew what I wanted to do, and I didn't want to copy anybody else, so I came up with a lot of different stuff.
I love people, this.
And, you know, and like my math promo, people still love that to this day.
I was going to say, I love that about Samoa Joe. You fat piece of garbage. And then yeah. You do the Steiner math.
Yeah, the fat ass. I'm pretty sure I don't like fat.
So funny. That was so good. Where did that come from? Like the 33 and a third? Like is that just off the top of your head?
Oh, come on, man. I got a PhD in mathematics. I'm from the University of Michigan. And all the numbers added up. Matter of fact, a Harvard professor added all the numbers up, and they said, yeah, it makes sense. So, you know, it, yeah. So I was just having fun, you know, as much as I try to, have the fans and, you know, entertain them, I was also trying to entertain myself, you know, and to this day, like, I think when MJF did that, my math program and promo in, AEW. I mean, it made me laugh. So, you know, it's, to this day, I still laugh about it, you know.
So memorable. People still post it everywhere online. I mean, everybody still, you know, tries to quote it and stuff. It's so funny.
Yeah, you know, like Wendy's used it as one of their online promos, and I think somebody else did. So, yeah, it caught on, and it's still around to this day.
And it's great at that point too, because it's like, oh, this, you know, Scott still have it. You know, he's been wrestling for 30 years, or, you know, not 30, but 20 years almost. It was a long time. So you feuded with Samoa Joe at that point. You and Samoa Joe had some unbelievable matches together.
Yeah, no, he was. That was the whole thing. I think I wrestled him before we were in the Main Event Mafia. Then we wrestled when we were in the Mafia. So yeah, we're, you know, trying to build those guys up. Him, AJ, you know, a couple other guys, you know, but they were the two mainstays.
What was the experience like just as far as the Hall of Fame this year? Because I was very curious, because you weren't in for years, should have been in earlier. So what was that like being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame?
That was great. You know, I was wrestling in the background. I got inducted to Dan Gable Hall of Fame in Iowa. And then, but when I got a call from WWE, you know, the fact that Bronson was the guy to introduce us was made all that more, you know, special, you know? So it was a good night.
Were you surprised to get that call, like to be in the Hall of Fame? Because it's felt like many years in the making.
Yeah, that was self-induced. You know, I was, you know, after I had went up to the WWE after they bought WCW, I went up there hurt, didn't have the, wasn't as mobile. And then, I was pissed off, and it took a while for me to, you know, get over that. Because I don't know, man, but it's never good to hang on to that stuff. So, and plus, you know, since Bronson was there, it made it that decision much more easier.
Man, if you look at it, Steiner Brothers, Hall of Fame, easy. Like you said, Dan Gable, too. But like anywhere you go, you guys are Hall of Famers. Do you consider yourself and the Steiner Brothers one of the greatest teams of all time?
I'd like to think we're, but that's not really my choice. You know, we wrestled in an era where it was, you know, some of the best tag teams. We wrestled all of them, pretty much. Wrestled, you know, Road Warriors, Doom. Unfortunately, when we went up to WWF, they were going through a bad time, so we didn't have, you know, like the Bulldogs were gone, Demolition was gone, so we didn't get a chance to wrestle those guys. But yeah, I mean, we wrestled pretty much everybody there was to wrestle at that time. So
I think easily one of the greatest tag teams of all time. I'm always just amazed at the fact, like, okay, Road Warriors, they're 285 pounds, maybe even more. I mean, they're just gigantic guys. One of the greatest teams ever. You guys get in there with them and you throw them around like they're nothing. It's like crazy. And even as a fan, like, fan then and then a fan now, I'm still mind boggled, you know, over it. How do you, you know, able to just toss these guys around? You guys are just brute force, brute strength.
Yeah, I mean, it's our amateur background. It's there's not a whole lot they could do to stop us. They were, you know, I mean, they were a great tag team. I remember watching them when I was still in college, actually, and they had a great gimmick. But it's not like when we had a match, you know, we weren't going to do what we do. So, I mean, if we got a hold of you, we'd, you know, toss you. So, and there's not a whole lot of people could do anything about it. But we just tried to have the best match possible. And I think we did. I think it brought a lot of excitement to the wrestling fans.
Yeah, you guys always had awesome matches with the Road Warriors. And I was buddies a little bit with Animal, and I would joke around, but like, man, the Steiner Brothers used to throw you around. He's like, well, what are we supposed to do? He's like, we could throw them around too, but what are we supposed to do? You know what I mean? Like, he couldn't do anything about it, kind of.
Right. No, both Hawk and Animal, you know, really sad that they're not here anymore. I mean, I went to Animal's funeral, which is, you know, it really sucks, you know, because we were friends, man. I bought one of his cars from him, like in Continental when I first came to WCW, and then we used to ride with Hawk and Animal a little bit. Most of their road trips were with Lex and Sting, so. No, they were cool guys, man. Like, it was tough when they're not, you know, not here anymore.
They were great. And I also loved you guys when you guys would wrestle the Nasty Boys. Man, Havoc 90. Oh, one of the best matches ever.
Yeah, they were great too. You know, I mean, even though both are badasses, they moved really good. And it was a good match. A lot of, you know, people loved it at time and still get compliments on it, even though they didn't look like. Let's put it this way: they played their gimmick well, and they were, you know, they're legit guys too. You know, they were. I think Sags was 6'4", Knobs was probably 6'3". So, no, we had those guys, and we had a lot of fun with those guys. So. So it was always fun having a match with them.
They could take a real good ass kicking too. You know what I mean? I mean, they can give it too, but they could take a good ass kicking.
Oh yeah. No, we gave them everything, and they gave us everything. So it turned out to be a good match, you know.
When you look at what you guys could do in the ring, just as far as like suplex and stuff. Is that all your innovation? Like, where does that come from? Because didn't really see much of that before you guys, as far as all those suplexes, but man, we see it after big time. Everybody copies you guys.
Yeah. Well, the suplex come from, amateur days. I mean, I always say this, you know, Steve Frazier was my grad assistant coach while I was a freshman at college. And he was training for the Olympics, 1984 Olympics. And he ended up being the first American to become a Greco world champion. So, of course, when I got there, I was, you know, I weighed less than he did. And I really didn't like Greco, but I was forced to learn it just so I, you know, give him some practice. He need, you know, you got different practice partners. So a lot of those throws was the one that when I learned from him. So then I just incorporated into professional wrestling. And yeah, like you said, a lot of those suplexes weren't done before. Like, and like my step around suplex, it still is not done because it's a little different. So, but yeah, no, that was all our amateur background. Then, of course, I do some other stuff like Frankensteiner, the Steiner screwdriver, and then, you know, I was the first one to do that 450 splash too back in 1987. So, but I did, I was different back then. You couldn't land, you couldn't hurt anybody. So I didn't like the way I landed. So I only did it one time when I was wrestling for Dick the Bruiser. So look it up, Google it, man.
Yeah, that's 450. It's splash. It's on YouTube. It's amazing. It's like, oh my God, how could a guy that big do that move? It's nuts.
Yeah. And I, you know, now you see guys when they do this 450 splash, just land on the guy. It's like, I mean, I couldn't do that at 250, 260 pounds. So I had to hit my feet first. And then when I watched it back, I really didn't like it. So I, that was the first and only time I used it.
And you used to do this awesome thing. It was like almost like a sack of shit toss, but you wouldn't throw the guy over. You would literally hold on to him and flip over, standing flip with the guy and land.
Yeah, I did that. I did a lot. And I started, sometimes I land on the top of my head, you know. So after doing that a few times, I stopped doing that. I mean, I actually did it off the second rope one time. So, but, yeah, a lot of stuff. I was just trying to be innovative, doing something different, anything to stand out.
Yeah, the Frankensteiner, God, everybody remembers that. Was the best. My favorite's probably the Steiner screwdriver. I love that. The height and then boom.
Yeah, it definitely looked devastating. So, but, you know, as far as the Frankensteiner, you know, some people call it the Hurricane Rana, which is, you know, that's always because bullshit. Mike Tenay came from Mexico, so like we started there. Bullshit, man. If you can find a Frankensteiner before I did it, you show me videotape, because the Frankensteiner is when I throw him off the rope, come back, jump up, and flip him over. That's Frankensteiner. So it was never done before. And so prove me wrong. You know, because other people try to take credit for something. But, you know, luckily everything is on tape.
And the way you did it was devastating. The way the Mexican wrestlers do it, the luchadors do it, it's almost like they're just turning the guy over. Yours was like a spike. Yours was devastating.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the difference. I threw them off the ropes and they came running back at me and I jumped up and flipped them over. So, you know, and people, you know, loved it. So, which is great. It's always good to do something that people love.
Yeah, definitely. I was just talking to Kevin Sullivan, the Taskmaster, and we were talking about when you wrestled the Giant on Nitro, and he said he was yelling at the Giant in the back because you suplexed him, and he said not to let you suplex him, and the Giant said to him, he goes, well, what am I going to do? He goes, he just suplexed me. He goes, I couldn't do anything. Like, he tried to grab the rope. Do you remember that? You literally just, and he's got to be at least 450. I mean, you just suplexed him like he was nothing, like a sack of potatoes.
Right. No, he was huge, but you know, once you get your hips on him, you can throw him. And, you know, that's what I did. Yeah, I was like, actually, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to throw them. So, but yeah, I just reached in there, put my hips up, and just tossed them.
So Sullivan never said anything to you. He said something to the Giant, but he never said anything to you to not to do it.
I didn't say nothing to me. It was, you know, it's my wrestling style. What would you want me to do? Arm drag him?
I know. I love it because he's like stunned that you did it. Like, you know what I mean? But of course, going to do it. He's not big enough, right? Nobody's big enough where you can't pick him up, right?
Right. So, yeah.
Because I remember Vader and Bigelow in Japan, you picked them up like they were nothing. So, I mean, nobody's too big.
Right. I mean, they were Bam Bam and Big Bam Vader. They were huge. We had a good match with those guys in Japan. So, I mean, that was a good time. The funny thing about that was like we're both on opposite sides of the arena, and then something happened where Vader, you know, started feeling his oats, and he said, "Well, all right, let's call it out there." And I was like, "All right, sounds good with us." And the thing is, my brother was with Brad Reinigans when Vader came through the camp. So, you know, Vader knew he could, you know, couldn't hang, you know, put it that way. But it was over in Japan, and so was Bam Bam. So, yeah, we had a good match with those guys.
Yeah, just you guys against anybody was awesome. Just because you guys are like the legit shooters. I mean, it looked like you could kill anybody you guys wanted to at any point. Not that you would, but it just looked like it. Just I love that style, that shoot style.
Right. Yeah, well, that was our ambition to, you know, not look like anybody else.
Did you ever hurt anybody as far as like wrestling? That's not because, you know, you're throwing guys around. Ever anybody get hurt or anything?
No, the only guys that might have got knocked up a little bit is probably the you know, the enhancement guys, job guys. But you know, that ain't our fault, because there were a lot of them were just guys going through training camps, and a lot of them couldn't chew and eat gum at the same time, you know.
Because I talked to
and eat gum or chew and walk at the same time.
Right. I can't do both. Yeah. I was talking to PJ Walker, Justin Incredible, who wrestled you guys, got in 1992, 1993, early on, and Tony DeVito. I said, man, those guys, they killed you guys, this and that. He said, no, not at all. I was shocked. He said it looked like it, but he's like, not anything. But obviously those two guys can actually work.
Right. No, that's, you know, there's a fine line to actually, you know, hurting somebody or making it look like it hurts you. And that's the whole key of wrestling, you know, because, you know, in a split second, we could turn it around where we would drive you into the mat and hurt you. But we wouldn't do that, but that's not what you portray to the people.
But it looked like it would, which is awesome, which is...
Yeah, trust me. Everything in wrestling, when you hit the mat, hurts. It's like, a slam hurts, backdrop hurts. It doesn't feel good. So, but you just know what you had to do.
Now, the Big Papa Pump gimmick, I love this gimmick. It's awesome. Where does that actually come from? Like when you become Big Papa Pump and step away from Scott Steiner, the Steiner brother.
Right. Well, I knew that. You know, we had been that tag team for so long. We had wrestled everybody, and we were popular. I knew I had to do a drastic change from what I was, you know, with the black hair and mullet. Otherwise, people would see me as the same. So as soon as I turned on my brother, we were in California. The next day, the next morning, I went to a salon and, you know, bleached my hair, bleached my goatee, and then I showed up. And when I showed up, believe it or not, a whole lot of people didn't recognize me. And a lot of the announcers didn't recognize me either, because I didn't really tell anybody I was going to do it. The only one person that knew was I ran it by Eric Bischoff. So, yeah, it's just something I changed the way I looked. It changed my wrestling style. I changed what I did in the ring. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you got too big. You couldn't do the Frankenstein no more. Oh, I did it. I guess do the Frankenstein, I just didn't want to do it because I didn't want people to cheer me because it was a fairly popular move. So I basically just, you know, changed my style to ground and pound. So
smart psychology. You want to get booed.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I was paid to be a heel. And, you know, if you're not getting booed as a heel, you're not doing your job. So, you know, that's one thing I wanted. And, you know, I being a heel is, you know, because, you know, I totally had to change because, you know, Scott and Kevin, you know, they were kind of like the cool heels. And it's like everybody else had their own style. I had to go far right to everybody else. And that's what I did. I think I was pretty successful at it. It's not, you know, paving my own way.
And I feel like when you were WWE champion, awesome run, but it was towards the end of WWE. That was the only downfall. You almost should have been champion sooner rather than later, just because that gimmick was awesome. You were so over as a heel. It was just Big Papa Pump was probably one of the best things in WCW at that point.
Yeah, but and that goes back to politics, you know. It's like, you know, yeah, probably a year before that, I felt I was ready, and I was, and the fact that I kept on having to wait, kind of like, that's where a lot of the anger, a lot of, you know, the, when I was pissed off, it kind of showed on my interviews and stuff. It came out like a wild man because I was frustrated. So, and the people could tell I was frustrated. I think that came through in my interviews, but it was actually the way I felt backstage. You know, you get tired of, you know, getting the thumb put on you. So that was pretty much real when they saw me on TV. I think people could relate to that.
So shoot promos almost a little bit. Like you were just kind of shooting at the hip, saying what you wanted to say.
Well, I talked to Terry Funk. You know, he was in WCW when I was there, and he used to tell me all the time. He said, "Man, I hated Dusty. I mean, I was good friends with Dusty Rhodes, but I called him everything like they could to make the people think that we weren't friends." You know, and he said, "You do what you got to do to you know blur that line to make sure people don't think that you guys are friends or anything," and so I always took that to heart, you know, because back in the day when I was wrestling, it was hard to get information from the older veterans. And, you know, Terry is such a great guy that, and, you know, of course, him and his brother wrestled together also. So it was kind of like a kinship there, you know. So no, he was very helpful in what he told me. So.
And you and him have that same philosophy, crazy like a fox.
Yeah. Yep. So, and he was one of the best. So, not a bad guy to listen to.
For sure. Got to mention, though, one of my favorite matches, Fall Brawl 2000. And I don't know if a lot of people have seen it, but they should go out of their way to see it. You versus Goldberg. It's by far his best match. I mean, it's not even close. It's by far. You guys just destroy each other. That's, I don't know if you remember as fondly as I do, but you versus Goldberg, one of my favorite matches of his and yours.
Yeah. You know, when most athletes, you know, that played college and or played pro, like Bill did, there's a certain amount of respect that you have because it's, you know, if you think about it, it's really hard to get a college scholarship. So there's a certain amount of respect for guys that actually played sports. I would say more so than anybody that somebody else that gets into wrestling. So we had a certain amount of respect for everybody, and it's like, and I knew what kind of match that we had to have, and it was basically, you know, we had to beat the shit out of each other. And that during that match is when I wore the tough Kevlar mask, because leading up to that match, he actually hit me in the eye socket and broke my orbital bone. The thing about that was we were in the ring, just punched me with the right. Like I said, punch, hit me with the right, and all of a sudden it hits me with the left. So as I was going this way, it was going directly into his punch, and it just, you know, bad timing. You know, I broke my orbital bone. So,
great, but no, man.
Yeah, no, we, you know, people like that action packed, you know, beat the shit out of each other style.
The Steiner brothers were the best. As we head for the finish here, we'll wind it down. Just, do you have other favorite matches, or does this not really exist, like favorite matches for you know, for the guys?
Yeah. Usually, when you're at that level, you can have pretty much good matches with everybody. But I think any time that, like, the favorite matches when they won a world title, won a world tag team titles, or when we went over to Japan and won the New Japan Pro Wrestling titles, or like when you wrestle in front of the largest attended festival in New, North Korea, where it was 185,000, you know, three nights in a row. I mean, that was an amazing experience. And of course, you know, there's everybody seemed to like that. Well, the match we have with Lex Luger and Sting, they seem to always like the matches against Doom, you know, like you said, Nasty Boys. So yeah, those matches just stick out. But you know, you got to remember, back in the day when we first started, on our contract it said, you know, 350 days a year. So a lot of those towns, and a lot of those days, and then all those weeks kind of run together. So really, like, the main, you know, when you're matched up against a formidable opponent, those are kind of the matches you remember.
And my favorite WWF match is you guys versus Owen Hart and Bret Hart, part of WrestleFest. Just unbelievable.
Yeah, that was that was kind of like sprung on all four of us. I think we were in North Carolina, and there was no plan. There was no setup. They just came up to us, and I think they're doing it for home videos or something for their network. And they just threw that match out there. So, you know, we did what we did. And of course, you know, they were brothers, and they were great tag team too. So yeah, we had a good match. I mean, I think it could have been better if we actually could have planned for it and, you know, had at least somebody tell us like a day or two before. But yeah, as soon as we got there, it was like sprung on us. So we did what we did. And so people still loved it, but I always thought it could have been better.
And that Steiner.
You always think a match could be better.
And that Steiner screwdriver on Owen is the best. That's the best one, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, the one I did in Tokyo Dome. That one looked good too. But yeah, no. Owen was, you know, I used to room with Owen on the road, and my brother and I, and him, and sometimes it would be Lex when he wasn't on that Lex Express. So Owen was a good friend. So. Yeah, he, you know, of course, he's a great wrestler too. So no, he took it great.
Everyone always says Owen Hart's the best ribber, but from all the stories I hear from Dr. Tom, from Disco Inferno, all these guys, you and Rick are the best ribbers. Knocking Disco off of the little boat thing, knocking him off.
Jet ski. All these. Oh, he's a jet ski, and he called me a bully. How can you call me a bully? They're my, both of the jet skis were mine. And it's not like we did it one time. That was, what are we going to do? Just go out on the lake and just, you know, hold hands and ride the jet skis, look at fish. And I mean, what the hell do you expect? You know, I tried to knock him off. And that was the best part of it, because when you knocked him off, you just kept on going around him. And I mean, it was hard as hell trying to get back up on it. You know, it's like I did the same thing to my brother, you know, knock him off and then kept on swimming around, you know, go almost. Try to drown him, take him to that point, and then, all right, get back out on the jet ski, and then do it all over. then Disco calls me a bully. He's like, man, shut the hell up, man. You know, both my jet skis were having fun. So, you know, but yeah, no, that was, you know, seriously, what were we going to do? Like lounge around today? Hey, look at that fish over there. Hey, you know, I mean, seriously, you're riding jet skis. You're going to have fun.
That one is awesome. Tying up guys to chairs and throwing them out. Just awesome. You guys are like, I don't know, the best. Like, if I wish I was around in that era to hang out with you guys. You guys were awesome. I love ribs like that.
That thing with tying up was, I told a story before. Was, you know, Sags and Knobs, you know, they needed to borrow a car one night. They were going to go out. We weren't going out. So, yeah, take the car. So I woke up the next morning, went to jump in the car. They put peanut butter on our steering wheel, and they put powder in the air conditioning. So when we jump, go to drive it, our hands are all sticky. Turn the AC and smoke. The powder goes all of us. So when we get to the arena, we see both those guys. We tape them up. And, it, you know, it's like the show starts at 8 o'clock. This is like 7 o'clock, 7:30, 7:50. So we tape them both up. My brother always carry a knife, cut his clothes off, and we threw him out in the arena. You know, I mean, it wasn't a pretty sight, you know. See badasses flaying around like two fat, blubbering walruses. You know, they started something, we finished it. But so it was all having fun.
So good. Your brother shot 1-2-3 Kid.
Yeah, we were having fun. Let's put it that way.
Oh yeah, your brother shot 1-2-3 Kid with the you know the gun or whatever. He thought he was really getting shot.
Oh yeah, no, we always did that, and we did that in college. Yeah, we had a shotgun, and you know you take out all the pellets. And you know, one time my buddy in college, we lived in upper part of a 2-story house, and he knocks on the door, and we knew he was coming, so we turned all the lights off. He opened the door. He's called both our names. All of a sudden, he comes in. All of a sudden, my brother racks the gun, shoots him. And of course, you know, that wad still comes out. So the wad came out, hit him in the chest, and he went down like he had really been hit with a bullet. He was going, why?
That's awesome.
You know, stuff like that.
That's great. And the best thing about you guys is, like, okay, you're legit tough guys, but you love to have fun. You love to rib, you know, fool around and stuff like that. I love those kind of guys. So I just mentioned to Haku, I said, oh, who's like a legit guy? And he said Barbarian and the Steiner Brothers. So I said the Barbarian, who's a legit guy. He said Haku and the Steiner Brothers. It's funny, like, those guys who, you know, everyone is afraid of, we're kind of saying you guys should be the ones everybody should be afraid of.
Well, see, I've never saw a Haku fight. My brother has, and he said, yeah, no, he's legit. And, you know, both those guys are huge. But, you know, there's one thing about, you know, if you watch the UFC right now, like, most of the domination is by amateur wrestlers. You know, once they're striking that, like, a lot of those guys that were champions, like, you know, Mark Coleman, I can't think of his name right now. I just saw him.
Mark Kirk and Shamrock?
No. I wrestled him in college. One of the big mustache.
Dan Severn.
No, not
Fry. Don Fry.
I wrestled Don Fry in college, according to him. So, yeah, like, those guys are champions. And then afterwards, a lot of people that were wrestlers, you know, like Khabib, he was a wrestler. And, like, most of those guys that wrestled, you know, they could take care of themselves. So, yeah, I was afraid of, you know, after wrestling in college and wrestling against the Olympic champion, I wasn't, you know, worried about too much. But, yeah, no, Haku and Barbarian were tough, but in reality, it's hard to find a Samoan that isn't tough. I mean, they're just, you know, they're a different breed of cat, you know, they're, yeah, I mean, But in reality, there's different little levels of toughness, because anybody that's in wrestling has to be a certain amount of, has to have a certain amount of toughness, because it's a tough way to make a living. So, but, you know, then there's different levels. And, you know, of course, Haku and Barbarian, they were, you know, at the top of the food chain. So I'll take it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I love that they're throwing you guys out there, like, you know, saying that you guys are tougher than them, but I love that kind of stuff, because it's just, yeah, you know, maybe a little humbleness on their part, but that just shows you what they think of you guys.
Oh, yeah, no, they were legit strong and legit tough, and it was, you know, I've wrestled them both, and it was great, you know. It's like, and I still see those guys today, and it's, you know, I was glad I was friends with those guys, because they're legit people.
Now, if somebody said the legacy of Scott Steiner, what is it? Like Big Papa Pump, the Steiner brothers, the collegiate career, you know, everything. Well, what would you say is the stamp of the legacy if somebody's like kind of looking back and thinking about Scott Steiner?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I was just trying to be innovative, you know, coming up with those signature moves that I have that are still replicated today. So, but I was just, you know, when I got into professional wrestling, like when I was in college, I had the best time of my life. And I was like, man, there's no way I could duplicate my, you know, days in college. But man, when I got into professional wrestling, I was far surpassed the times I had in college. So I just made sure I just want to have a good time and then go hard every night. And then, you know, I never took a day off. So I always tried to have the best match. And whether I did or not, you know, I was still always striving to do that. So it's really not my place to say where I should be. It's to say that's for other people. And if I'm remembered, I'm glad, you know, that people remember and appreciate what I did. You know, that's why I like going to these comic cons and wrestling conventions, because, you know, it gives a chance for me to talk to the fans that, you know, the people, the matches and stuff that they really liked, and what happened, when would you do the, you know, why'd you do this, and, you know, stuff like that. So it's great to be remembered, you know.
Absolutely. One of the best, one of the all-time best, the Steiner brothers. And if anybody did want to book you, email classbookings85@gmail.com. That's classbookings85@gmail.com. Extra the legendary Tony Hunter, you could book not only Scott, but Rick of the Steiner brothers as well. So hit up Tony Hunter, classbookings85@gmail.com.
Yeah. Tony does all my books.
Anything else as far as social media where you want people to find you? Instagram, Twitter, anything like that?
Man, I can't do that stuff, man. you know, I'm pretty much a private person anyways. So I can't go on, you know, social media every day. It would drive me nuts. So, yeah, I started up a Twitter page, you know, maybe a couple, about 5-10 years ago. And it's like, but there was a purpose to that. But yeah, I really, like, I tweeted about the Michigan win and stuff like that. But it's like, I don't know, man, this phone contraption is like, I'm still not sure if it's going to catch on.
Where can everybody follow you?
On Twitter, it's, I believe it's Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner.
Okay. We got to hear about that Michigan win again. That was awesome. 15-0. What a season for the Wolverines.
Yeah. And that bullshit about cheating, man, it's stealing signs. Are you kidding me? Are we playing peewee football now? You can't change your signs. I'm like, come on.
Unbelievable. Know. I think that motivated Michigan, though. Michigan versus everybody. That just motivated. That pissed them off. You know, come on. That's such panty-anty bullshit. That really motivated them.
Yeah, I believe it did. And it's like, you know, it goes back to, like, sometimes, you know, people push you to a certain point, and then you get pissed off, and it's us against the world. So I think there's something to that. And they came out. Cream always rises to the top, man. And plus the fact that Michigan holds the most victories in college football history. And They have the largest football stadium in the world. So, Michigan, the champions of the West, man.
Hail, hail to the victors, champions of the world now, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right, Scott, thank you so much for all the time tonight. Really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. No, thanks for having me, man.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother.
We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip. Get every pick right and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
Russellville.com presents the book Lance by Chance, Wrestling as a Von Erich.
Hear how he was discovered, what happened when he was at World Class, and the adventures he had when he left Dallas.
Also available, the Pro Wrestling Vault, Volume 1 and 2.
Read stories of the Northern Wrestling Federation, Jazz, Bobby Eaton, Thunder Rosa, Tracy Smothers, Harley Race, PJ Black, Bushwhacker Luke, The Fantastics, Ricky Morton, Scott Casey, Tim Storm, Kamala, Sal Renaro, Jeremiah Plunkett, Andrew Anderson, and many more.
Get your books today at Russellville.com. Russellville. It's where wrestling lives.
Cut the music! You see, when Big Papa Pump comes to town, all my hooches come around. Now, you Sacramento scumbags! All you Sacramento white trash that are waiting for Diamond Dallas Page to show up, he's not coming because I put him in the hospital. I gave Diamond Dallas Trash fair warning that he wasn't big enough, he wasn't strong enough, and he wasn't smart enough to take on a great athlete like myself. But he let his ego get in the way of things, and he wanted to defend the honor of his wife, Now I get the honor to get honor and offer for 30 days and 30 nights.
That's not true. That's a lie.
And she will tell me that I'm the daddy. Now, Diamond Dallas Page, after those 30 days and 30 nights of taking your wife to Nirvana, she will call me Big Bad Booty Daddy. So as you're in the hospital on your back screaming in pain, your wife will be on her back screaming my name. So this goes to all my freaks out there. Big Papa Pump is your hookup. Holler if you hear me. I'm not done yet.
Oh, great.
Now the NWO is the number one organization in sports, and our number one objective is to put WCW out of business. Now I've hurt my brother, I've hurt Diamond Dallas Page, and if I could fight Sting, I would hurt him. So that means there's only one guy left, and that's you, Goldberg.
Ooh.
Now I see all these signs that say Goldberg, who's next? Goldberg, you're next on my list. You see, you accept my challenge and meet me here because believe me, the man with the largest arms in the world, it's not hard to find. I'm just hard. Just ask my hooches. Goldberg, I'm putting you in the hospital right next to Diamond Dallas Page tonight.
Wow.
Now turn the music on.
This is all Goldberg's head. Come out here and he wants Goldberg tonight.
Who's the man?
Just Big Papa Pump.
I'm the man.
Now fans take you back to Super Brawl 9 last night.